Yeah, I greet you all this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here this morning. And just want to wish you all God's grace, His mercy, and His peace in your life. There's nothing that goes beyond that peace that God wants to give us. That we can go through life with peaceful hearts, calm hearts, with the assurance that our sins are forgiven, and that we can stand before God in a right way. As we were singing here, my thoughts went to Psalm 103. I'm just going to read a few verses there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with mercies, with loving kindness, and tender mercies. Isn't that, it just humbles us to realize, to think that God actually redeems our life from destruction. We're headed for destruction. Every man, every baby that's born is headed for destruction unless they repent. But God sent His Son into this world. He suffered and died to redeem us from that destruction so that we can have hope of eternal life. I don't have anything heavy for us this morning as a devotional here. But my thoughts went to Peter. And Peter expresses this two times. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, meaning in this body, I'm going to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. And so that's my goal this morning, is to stir up your minds by reminding you of things you already reminding you of things that you already know. I want to stir that up. When I was thinking about stirring up, my mind went to a can of paint. If you open a can of paint, you open that up, usually there's kind of an oil on top, unless it's water paint. But oil paint, there's oil on top. You have to stir that up. As you stir it up, that color starts coming up, mixing with that oil. And all of a sudden, the true color comes out. You can actually see the true color. So that picture came to my mind as I was thinking of stirring you up. My desire is to stir you up in what I have to share with you so that once I'm done, you can see the true color of Jesus Christ coming through in your life. Jesus gave this parable in Luke 18. He gave this parable about this widow that came to this ruler, and she just she said, avenge me of my adversary. And I think she just kept on doing this. And finally this ruler said, though I fear not God nor man, I'm going to avenge this widow, lest she weary me with her continual pleading. Then he said that, then he turns that to the children of God. He says, can't exactly remember exactly how it's worded, but it says that, will God avenge his elect? Yes, he says, he will avenge them speedily. But he asks this question, when the Son of Man comes, when he returns to earth, will he find faith upon the earth? So that's the question that's burning in my heart this morning. When Jesus returns, where is our faith? Do we really have faith in Jesus Christ? Do we? I just like to stir us up in that this morning. Abraham, I think Abraham was, this is, I think this was about 15 years before his son Isaac was born. God comes to Abraham and he asks Abraham, he says, your generation, your seed is going to be at the sand of by the seashore. And he said, and then Abraham went outside. God told him to go outside. He said, if you look at the stars, if you can count the stars, that's your generation. That's how your seed is going to be. Innumerable. It says, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. So that's that's the thought I have this morning is, Abraham simply believed God. He didn't have a son. It was yet, I think, 15 years before he ever had a son. He was past, his wife was past bearing children. But he believed God. He believed the impossible. And God said he was righteous. So that's the challenge that I sense in my own life. Is that I'm going to talk about afflictions, about difficulties in life. Do we actually believe God? Does God actually say righteous? Because we believe in him when we face things that seemingly are impossible in our life. But we still believe in God. And God says that we're righteous because of that. I'm going to go to Isaiah 43, just read a few verses out of that. But now thus saith the Lord God that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. There's a song that says that God has not promised, God's always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. But then the chorus says, but God has promised that we can for grace. And I would just like to challenge us in this. When we go through the waters, when we pass through the rivers, when we face difficulties. Brother Allen here called me the other day and invited us to come up, my wife and I, to come up and be with part with the prayer meeting last evening, and just to be here today. And lo and behold, after supper, we were ready to come to the prayer meeting, and Alan's water pump quit working. Alan wasn't even here last evening. He was trying to get it water. He ended up putting a brand new pump in as well. And so, I don't know what all that meant. I've been looking forward to being here with Alan. But that's just a small difficulty. You know, we look at the hostages down in Haiti. Well, that's a real difficulty. That's a real trial. But here in America, we don't face many things like that as severe as being kidnapped. But we do face some. We still have the enemy of our soul. Satan is still out there trying to discourage us, trying to get us away from God, trying to destroy our faith. You know, when our son's wife got shot there in Indianapolis, it was almost easier for me to trust God in that difficulty than it is for some of the smaller things I face in life. Some of the more of the daily things that all of a sudden this thing happens and it kind of angers me, kind of gets me down. I become discouraged. That was such a huge trial or difficulty to go through. There was no other place to go but to God. That was the only place we could go. But what I want to challenge us today is that in those more what we consider insignificant things, we need God just as much then as we do in these bigger things, in these more distressing situations in life. But the promise here is, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Can we remember when we face the trials in life? God is with us. He's right there beside us. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. There's a promise there that when we go through these afflictions, go through these trials, God promised we put our trust in Him, we won't get burned. He wants us to truly trust Him in these times of life. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4. This is Paul is sharing some things here. Well, let me see. 2 Corinthians 4. Okay, I'm going to read here in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake, for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What he's saying here is that we possess the treasure of the glory of God, of Jesus Christ, in our earthen vessel. And we just need to acknowledge that we are weak. We're not those strong, mighty people that aren't moved by nothing. We carry it in earthen vessels. The reason for that, he explains in verse 7, is that so that any strength or any power or any victory that comes out of this vessel that we ignite, it's just of God. It's not of us. It's not of our own sufficiency or our own goodness that we produce anything that's worthy of looking at. But it's the power of God. Then he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying, the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest on mortal flesh. And so that's where we have these troubles, we have these distresses, we're perplexed sometimes and so forth. We don't always know exactly how to work something through, but we're not overwhelmed. We're not in despair. Because we have someone that is living within us. Jesus said, if I go to the Father, he says, it is expedient that I go to the Father, and I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Another place he says is, I and the Father will make our abode with you. So if the Holy Spirit is living within us, and then the power, even though the ability to not be in despair, or not to be, even though we're perplexed, we don't understand it. in fact, just in my son Jonathan's situation, we still don't understand what happened. But we know that God knows it all. God has purposes beyond what we understand. That we can just yield to Him, and that what He wants is that in our mortal flesh, in our weakness, He wants the image of Christ to become out of that. And there's one of these songs that we sang portrayed that the life, can you say it? The life of Jesus might be lived again on earth. That's the call that God has for us. And as we go through these distresses and these perplexities and these difficulties in life, that we can trust God and we actually have faith like Abraham did, so that life of Christ can be lived, can be manifested and lived out again, so that people are drawn to Him. That's the idea of it. And then in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many be down to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that, I believe, is part of our struggle, is that we tend to look at the temporal. We tend to look at right now. We tend to, at least I do, I tend to look, Lord, you know, there has to be a difference now. There has to be, something has to change now. And we tend to look at it in a temporal perspective instead of an eternal perspective. I remember back in 99 when our son Michael had his, he was 7 years old and had his brain tumor. And we were, you know, desperate to, I just remember sitting there at the table and we had almost expired everything that we could think of to, that our son could be healed. And I told Susie, I said, you know, if I could carry my son 50 miles, I would walk and carry over 50 miles just to get my son to this healer, you know, to Jesus. I was thinking about Jesus. I just remember so well picture came back to me of this son, this father in the Bible that brought his son to Jesus. He said, Jesus, he said, he's cast into the fire and he falls into the water and he's burned. He said, if you can help, do something. The desperation that you pick up, the desperation that you pick up from fathers as their children suffer like that. That's kind of what I was feeling. Lost my thought there. And then I remember that Brother Nelson Garber from Salem, Indiana called one day. He said, Sam, he said, I know you're getting different advice of what to do, or do this, or do that, or this helped, or this might help. He says, I don't want to add to this confusion. But he said, I would like to give you a little bit of advice. He said, whatever direction, whatever you do, make your decisions in the light of eternity. That was the best advice he could give us. It took the desperation away. It helped me surrender. Just accept the fact, you know what? Our son will not make it. Our son is going to die. Our son will not be healed. And in looking at it in eternity, I finally realized, you know what? My son's better off in glory than he is in living in it anyway. And then my mind went to Abraham. When he and his son Isaac were going up Mount Moriah. And Isaac said, he said, Father, here we have fire, we have wood, but where's the offering? Where's the lamb? Abraham said, son, he said, God will provide. Well, in that incident, he was delivered. But in Abraham's mind, he had sacrificed his son. And I remember in this struggle of accepting the fact that my son's not going to be healed, God brought this verse to my mind. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for there is the kingdom of heaven. That word, forbid them not. I just sense that God is calling our son home. Don't forbid him to go. Don't forbid him to go. And so sometimes we face situations like these. I remember the morning that I finally got up and I sat at the window and just thinking about these things. And I finally went out. I said, Lord, he's yours. I give up. I surrender. You can do with our son what you want to. Just surrendering that brings peace. Even though it's going to be different from what I would desire, but it brings a surrendering. That surrender brings peace. And that's what I would like to encourage us in. Whatever your situation is, whatever you're facing, when you surrender to God, you surrender that situation to Him, He will reward you with peace. He will reward you with that best peace. So as we go through these things, let's look at them from the eternal perspective and allow God to minister to us, and that as we surrender, it brings more brokenness. It brings more of a contriteness. It actually, well, this is this verse. I'm going to go to Peter. There's a verse in Peter I would like to get. Maybe I got it written down here. Let me see. No, I don't think I do. 1 Peter 2. Here it says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that ye should follow his steps." Now, I think the context of this is that that maybe we're suffering, maybe like this kidnapping or a physical persecution or something like that. But let's turn to chapter 4. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." I believe that's something that as we face these distresses, these perplexities, and these difficulties, and as we yield ourselves to God, and we surrender that to Him, and we quit fighting. We quit fighting it within us. We surrender to that. It creates more of a broken and contrite spirit. And the process, God is accomplishing a cleansing effect in our lives. There's another verse that I think this is also in Corinthians, where it says, "Dearly beloved, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." So I think that is the heart. That is, if our heart is that we in this body portray the image of Jesus Christ, and that His life is lived out again as we live life, if that's our heart's desire, then God is going to look into our hearts, and He's going to see, you know, here's an attitude that's not quite right, or here's a sinfulness of the flesh that you need to be cleansed of. So He's going to allow these perplexities, these difficulties, and these struggles. For example, just going to take Brother Allen again last night. I don't know what exactly God was trying to teach Brother Allen in that. But if Brother Allen takes that in a right way and he says, "Lord, it can have a cleansing effect in his spirit. More of a brokenness, more of a surrender," and so forth. So that is what God's will is for us. That the image of Christ shines through our lives. John 16:33, Jesus says that in the world you should have tribulation, but give good cheer, I have overcome the world. So our strength, and I would just, this was something that, okay, let's define these things a little bit. Tribulation. Tribulation is pressure, anguish, trouble, persecution, or just simply being burdened down about something. That's a tribulation. And we do face a lot of pressure in life. We're burdened. There's things that burden us down. Those are tribulations. He says, "Be of good cheer," which should mean to have courage. Take courage, brothers. He says, "I have overcome the world." Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." He has conquered. He has got the victory. And to think about that, here a while back, I was really struggling with an issue in my life, and I was trying to gain the victory over it and so forth, and all of a sudden the thought just came to me, "Why are you fighting a battle that has already been won. The victory to this battle has been won. Christ Jesus has overcome the world. That reminds me of a verse in 1 John 5, I think maybe verse 5, where it says, "And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So our faith in what? I'm just sharing how this came to my mind. So my faith in what? My faith in Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus is talking to John. He says, "I hold the keys of hell and death." And if we have a key, take for example that door back there. That door is locked. We can't get in. It doesn't matter how much we desire to get in here. We can't get in here unless someone has the key. That key has the power to open up the door that's closed and open and let us in. Jesus holds that key. And when we come to Him in faith, understanding that He... It reminds me of this incident back in Chronicles, Jehoshaphat, when he was facing the enemy. And I don't think, if I remember right, they didn't have any weapons. And Jehoshaphat goes to prayer. He says, "Lord, this great army is against us. What are we going to do?" And it says the word of the Lord came to one of the Levites. He said that, "You won't even have to fight. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's." And it turned out that they did, that as the army went out to face the battle the next day, there was 200 singers that went beforehand. They were singing praises, and as they began singing, the enemy started fighting. There were three different tribes there. They all killed each other. But what I'm inspired with in that account is that when they got there, the enemy was all killed. And it said it took the Israelites 3 days to carry all the spoil home. All the spoil home from this enemy. So that's the blessing. When we actually allow or accept the fact, I don't have to fight this thing. I can just rest in the victory that when Jesus Christ, you know, brothers, one of the most beautiful scenes in the New Testament is the scene of that glorious resurrection. I think Satan thought that he had the victory by putting Jesus in that grave. But when that resurrection morning came, the angel came down and said his countenance was as lightning. And those soldiers that were there guarding the grave, they were dead men. They were lying flat on the ground, but I believe their eyes were wide open because they observed everything that was happening. Because they went and told the Pharisees what happened. You know that. But anyway, the angel rolled that stone away and sat on it. And Jesus came out of that grave victorious. Today he holds the key to hell and death. He holds the key to victory. And if we could only get to the point where as we struggle with something, even with overcoming sins of the flesh, if we can just get to the point where I don't have to fight this thing. Jesus won the victory. It's my faith in that victory that gives me the victory. Be with you. I have overcome the world. Okay. There's a verse in Hebrews 12 where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and set down the right hand of the throne of God." That's what Jesus Christ is today. "Consider him that endures this great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's not grow weary and faint. When we do become weary and faint, let's look to Jesus and consider what he went through. We haven't fought to that extent yet. There's another verse in Galatians that says, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If we faint not. I would like to encourage us to go. We won't go into that, but That is Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a beautiful psalm. The beginning, that first verse is, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What a beautiful place to be. I'm going to close with this verse of 1 Peter 1, 7. This verse has been very precious to me over the years, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is the intent. That is the intent that God has for us in our trials, the difficulties, the afflictions, and things that we go through. God is looking for a faith. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith? Will he find faith that is to the honor and praise and glory of Jesus Christ? So may God bless you as you continue in your journey in life. And actually, remember Abraham. He believed God, and he was counted to him for righteousness. May God bless you.